Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
This morning we've been talking over the last few weeks about joy. We had a joyous service and we've been talking about peace and, you know, how we can have joy and peace in this season. I don't want us just to have joy and peace at Christmas. I want us to walk in joy and walk in peace every day of the year, 365 days. We introduce these as Advent of all these, of the different things that we need to focus on. But I think God wants us to focus on this all of the time. He wants us to be peaceful. He wants us to have joy. And he also, the theme of our Christmas is he wants us to be still. Yeah. How can we be still in God? Anyone have a hard time sitting still? I can point right there. But we were on vacation just a couple years ago. And I remember sitting there on that beach in a chair. And my mind was racing. I was thinking, oh, man, what did I got to do this. I got to do that. And God kind of reminded me, tapped me on the shoulder a little bit. He said, I gave you a vacation to be still and to be quiet and to understand that you need some rest and you need to chill just a little bit. The Lord reminded me that he gave me this time to rest and be still. And he brought Psalms 46:10 to me. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. When God was saying, be still, what was he saying in this verse? If you really study this verse and you look at it, you got to understand the previous verses of what it's talking about to bring it all into context. This psalm takes us back to King Hezekiah. You're going to get a little Old Testament history here. Takes us back to the king of Hezekiah. He was the king of Judah. And at that time, Israel and Judah were split. They had a lot of bad kings since King David. David was the king after God's own heart. They had a lot of them. The Bible says that they forgot God. They set up idols. And it says they did evil in the sight of the Lord. But Hezekiah was different. The Bible says he did right. In the middle of all of the wrong, he was someone who stood up for what was right. It said he did right in the sight of the Lord. He tore down all the idols. He brought back God to the nations and he revolted against the evil nation that was coming against them. He was doing everything he seemed right, but sometimes when we do right things, bad things still happen sometimes, right? I said this, sometimes when you're living for the Lord, there's a bullseye on your back and the enemy's chasing after you and he's always trying to get you to think differently, be differently. But here was a man that was doing right and still, look at what happens. The Assyrians come up against them. They seize their land. They seize their crops. They came out against them and they had them outnumbered like 4-1. The Assyrian king sent messages to Hezekiah to intimidate him. He told Hezekiah, he told the people, imagine somebody with a bullhorn, your king cannot save you. The problem is he went a step farther when he said, and definitely this God you're serving is pretty weak. He can't save you either. We've seen the rest of the gods. We've seen all the other gods of the nations that we came against them. They were nothing. This God is the same. He didn't know which God he was talking about when he was talking about this one though. Everything seemed like it was coming against them, and they needed an answer. They needed some insurance. They needed some protection. They needed some assurance that things were going to be okay. In the natural, what do? We buy car insurance. It's way too much. Just got mine reduced a little bit. That's good because I made a phone call. Do that. They ain't paying me for that promotion. But in the natural, we buy insurance for auto, for health, for natural disasters, for fire. When we buy insurance, what do we want to do? We want to reduce the risk before disaster happens. But health insurance, having health insurance, is no guarantee that you're not going to get sick. having car insurance doesn't mean you're not going to have an automobile accident, even though you might be an excellent driver. When you have insurance, it's not going to say that none of these natural disasters or sicknesses or car accidents are not going to happen. But when we think about all those things in the natural, so are broken hearts, so are broken families, so are relationships. And we have to understand, how can we be still in God when we feel surrounded, when we feel overwhelmed, when we feel fearful, when we feel isolation is going on super bad right now. People are isolating themselves, are putting themselves in position, and when the enemy isolates, he dominates. We got to know that isolation is happening, and when chaos comes in and steals our stillness, the ultimate insurance policy that we can have is for us to go and find our peace, find our joy, find our contentment, find our confidence, find our stillness in the promises of God's word. I say this before, if you're not in the word, you have no roadmap to where it's going to take you when these things come. His word is everlasting, it's true, and it's faithful. But I ask the question again. I'm asking it, you're not. How can we be still in God? God was reminding the people in this psalm that he is rest if we are still. He said again in Psalms 46, be still and know that I am God. You walk up to a lot of people nowadays, and maybe even in this, it's happened in this church this morning. You walk up to them and they say, how are you doing today? Whew, I'm tired. I'm beat. I'm worn out. You get answers like that, and we're trained in society to feel that way. We live in a time in history where we live, come on, there's a place where it says he's, in the King James Version, it says that he's wearing out the saints. And I think we're living in that time right now because we're trained to be this way in our society. We live in a time in history where placing value on money, more money, popularity, multitasking, doing more distractions than ever before are pulling us away from what God wants. All this does, it pulls us in this direction and they drain us. No wonder, come on, y'all. No wonder why at the end of the day, we're beat. Because we've been beat down all day. But a lot of times what we can do in our day is when we start meeting with God, I'm going to talk about this a little bit, we can get away from completely beat down at the end of the day by our attitudes, by things that we speak out of our mouth, by how we don't let things pull us in. Come on, can I get an amen on that? Anybody been pulled in on some gossip or something? And at the end of the day, you're like, oh my gosh, I wish I hadn't even listened to that. All day, every day. It's the devil's job to wear you out. He's under attack to steal our rest, to kill our peace of mind, to destroy our relationships with God. And it's working. It's working. We, as even in the Christian world, we focus on everything but God. Oh, I'm about to make somebody happy or sad right now. We have a lot of time for a lot of things. We have a lot of time for what we want to do. Can I get an amen on that one? Thank you for coming to church today. It's cold outside. It's nasty outside. I appreciate you all making that gesture. But you know, sometimes we have to do things we don't want to do to get to a place where we need to be. It keeps us from spending time with the one that can give us a true, true rest. The only one that can instill our, make our spirit still. And how do we fight against that? We have to learn how to be still. You have to learn. It's a learned response. I mean, my wife is 100 miles an hour everywhere she goes most of the time. In the season she's in right now, she's learning how to be still, to say no, to be still. That's hard for her. But how do we do that? Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present time in trouble. Present has help in trouble. First of all, you have to know that God is our refuge. God is saying that when you can't find safety in anything else, remember that he is your refuge and your strong tower. Refuge means a safe place, a shelter from danger. We started this ministry 16 years ago. We called it The Refuge. And it was supposed to be for adults who were weird like us, who had made mistakes like us, who'd been married before and divorced, who'd been down the road of life and messed it up. We wanted a church for some of y'all in here. Come on. We live in a crazy, mixed up world. And all of us have made bad choices. We've made mistakes. We're hurting from life because of the things that we've caused in our own lives a lot of times. But a safe place for us is in Jesus. People spend thousands of dollars. They build storm shelters and for natural events that take place for protection. But we must know that God is our refuge and our strength. He wants us to be safe from danger anywhere that we go. I remember, I'm big. I got bullied by two guys one time. They did it for two weeks. And I remember riding my bike home. 100 miles an hour, man, as fast as these little legs could go. I was in the fourth grade. Because you know what? If I didn't ride that bike, Jim, I was going to get beat up. Because they told me that was what was going to happen. But I remember riding that bike, and before too long, I'd scooted in the sidewalk. The house was this close in Chicago. And when I got home, na-na-na-da-boo-boo, I'm home. Jesus is just like that. He's standing there like your big brother. Come on, anybody had a big brother? You say, yeah, what he said. Come on, you got something to help. But as long as your big brother is standing in front of you, you will back up what he said. Jesus looks at you like that. He said, I got your back. I'm with you through all the times. I'm your big brother. You can hide in me. And the good thing about God, I go back to the prodigal son. He's that father that's sitting on the porch waiting on you to come home. And he's been waiting for a while. And all he's doing is he's pursuing you. He's going after you. But sometimes he sits on the porch and he waits for you to come back. And then, my favorite story not going on no more. But he's ready to be our strength. He can be our strength. We can work out as much as we want to. We can run, which I think is pointless. We can even eat right, which I'm getting somewhat better. You can increase your physical strength, but how do you get spiritual and emotional strength in moments of weakness? We have to recognize that not us, but God is our strength. Isaiah 40, 29. Come on, get you some Bible in you. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases their strength. In those private, weak moments when you received a bad diagnosis, you got a bad phone call, a surprising phone call. He is your strength as you mourn, as you cry, and even when you're angry. Come on, God's not afraid of your words. He wants to hear from you. He's your father. He's in a relationship with you. So if you've been mad at God, tell him you're mad at him. And he'll point out a few things to you. If you're sad, say, God, I am. We make prayer so complicated. Your prayer life to God is just coming to him and saying, God, it's me. Through all the imperfections, through all of the things that you... I say it before and say it again. He already knows. But he wants to hear it from you. And I think that healing comes by speaking those words out of your mouth. Paul, he said he needed strength in his weakness. And Jesus looked at him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. Moses was like, you know, I can't go talk to these people. I don't even know their language. And I stutter and I have, he says, don't worry about what you're going to say. He said, I will provide for you all every step of the way. So many times when we get weak, we think we can't do anything because we don't know the answers. God says, if you'll just lean on my strength. Sometimes, I wrote here in big letters, sometimes we just need to listen. Obey, I'm going to repeat that one. Listen, obey, and trust. You know what God's energy drink is? Anybody drink energy drinks? I'm praying for y'all right now. Here's God's, Isaiah 40, 31. But those that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Thou shalt mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is God's energy drink right there. Waiting upon him and being still and listening to what he's saying to you. So many people say, I've never heard God. You have. I promise you, you've heard him in your thoughts. You've heard him in your stomach. You've heard him in parts. You've heard him from other people you just didn't know. Be careful what you listen to, though. Anyway, but you've heard his voice. And so many times it takes us to still ourselves and get ourselves in a place where we can only hear what he's trying to say. The Bible says in that verse, it says he's a very present help. And very is a, help me, Miss English teacher. Very is an intensifier. It means he's very there. When trouble comes and you've done all you can do, you got to know that he's very present. C.S. Lewis said this, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, and shouts to us in our pain. God can use your pain to get your attention. God can use your pain to give you a platform. Come on. You didn't go through things in life for nothing. Sometimes our choices made us go through some really rough stuff. But if we allow God to use those things, Eric, he's going to use it for a platform. Jason, he's going to use it for a platform. He's going to use it for people to hear what's going on in your life when they need to hear it. God can get your pain through your, God can get your pain through, God can get your attention through your pain. That's what I'm trying to say. How many grow closer to God when things are going great? Oh, I got one hand. Praise the Lord for you. But many of us grow closer to God when trouble comes, when our pain hits. That's when we're like, oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. God said, I've been the same God 6 months ago. I was the same God a year ago. I was the same God. Where did you go? I'm going on. Imagine being in a desperate situation. You cry for help. And you have no idea if someone's even listening to you. And you don't have any confidence that anyone can even hear what you're saying. Sometimes it feels like, come on, does it ever feel like your prayers are just hitting the ceiling? Bing, bing, bing. I don't even know, God, if you're even listening. I've said that before. I've been praying before and said, God, I don't even know if you're hearing me. But the Bible says he's a very present help. That means he's there. Fortunately, prayer is not that way because God hears and God cares. He's very present. But when I think about that, you're either here or you're not here. How can you be very present? That's because he's God. He could be in every situation of your life. He's in every situation of your life if you'll allow him to be that way. He's a very present help. You got to be mindful. I said this last week. You got to be mindful of his presence all day long. We can't wait till the end of the day when we're completely exhausted, completely done. We need to find those moments. And I know I said it last week. You got to hear it again. You got to find those moments during the day to say, God, I know you're with me and I praise you. I'll praise you anywhere. I'll praise you in my pain. I'll praise you on the Snyder. I'll praise you wherever I need to praise you. But I am going to do it and know that you're with me today. Sometimes we just need to turn off the noise. The noise is, I'm going on. Let go of the need to have all of the answers. This is for somebody. Let go of the need to have all of the answers and trust that God is already making a way where there seems to be no way. You have to activate your faith. The Bible says faith without works is what? Dead. Oh, y'all know some of your Bible. That's good. Faith without works is dead. Sometimes you got to step out. You got to step out of your comfort zone. You got to move even when you don't feel like moving. You got to believe when you don't see it. Come on, that's a big one. You got to believe it even when you don't see it. You got to believe that God is going to do what he said he's going to do because his promises are yes and amen. When faith is activated, fears start to subside. Your worry and your doubts start to fade a little bit. I'm not saying they're going to go all the way all along, but you're going to start not worrying about some of the things you've been worried about. Acting out your faith, activating your faith, is knowing who is on your side. Can I remind you who he is today? He's undefeated. If he is for you, who can be against you? God is he goes and fights your battles for you. The Bible says, even though I walk, come on, through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The most effective weapon the enemy has, you got to hear this one, is you not showing up and activating your faith. The effective that he has on you, if you're not showing up to battle, I just tell you sometimes we're all in a battle, but you got to get yourself up sometimes. You got to dust yourself off and you got to show up for it. This is how I fight my battles. I fight my battles through praise. I fight my battles through worship. I fight my battles through faith, believing that this is not going to be the end of me. How do I be still in God? I wrote this down. SLOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOOO down. Slow down and allow God to be God. Taking ourselves, come on, this is for some control freaks in the room. You don't have to raise your hand. Taking yourself out of the center of everything, out of the equation, and putting God there in that place. Come on, I want you to do that in your mind right now. Take him out of that scenario, out of that situation, out of that circumstance that you've been worried about, that you've been fretting about, that you've been, and put him right in the center of it and say, okay, God, I've been trying to fix this. It ain't really working. But I'm going to put you in the middle of it right now. I'm going to see how much. Do that this week, practically. When something starts coming against your mind, say, okay, God, I'm going to put you right in the middle of this situation. How would it glorify you by how I acted or how I react or how the things that I do? And I'm telling you what, I think if we did that for a few days or a week, we would start to see that God is very present. He's our strength and he's our refuge, and he is going to fight our battles for us. So many times we try to fight our battles in our own strength, and we get weary and we get disgusted, we get angry, we get all the other adjectives. And God said, if you just take a deep breath, slow down, and know that I am God. Stop trying to take control. You got to relinquish your need to be in control. Now, being still doesn't mean being quiet. But it does mean, listen to this, y'all gonna like this one. But it does mean stop arguing with God. Come on, we have arguments with God. But I don't know, God, I think you're wrong on this one. Come on, y'all laugh. But our attitudes show that sometimes. Our lives show that sometimes. We believe in you, God, but I don't think you're doing it the way I want it to be done. You're not doing it in my timing. You're not doing it the way that it's supposed to be done, as opposed to what my mind gets into it. Stop arguing with God and start surrendering to God. The reason a lot of us can't surrender is because we don't remember. We can't surrender it because we don't remember where we used to be. All I need sometimes is just a memory refreshing course in a day to say, and when I start grumbling and complaining and griping about everything, God said, don't you remember where you used to be? Don't you remember a bit, Jimmy, where I pulled you out of? You couldn't get yourself out of that place on your own. You got to quit griping and complaining. You got to quit feeling sorry for yourself. Come on, quit throwing yourself a pity party all the time and get up and say, God, thank you for where you brought me from. Thank you that I'm not where I used to be. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, that could change the whole trajectory of your day. What does it mean to be still? I know I've asked that question 4 times, but I want you to understand this. The Hebrew definition of still depends on context. It often relates to the word, the Hebrew word, rapha. You know what that means? Letting go It means cease from striving. How many of us strive each and every day to try to hit a goal or try to do this? To cease from striving. Relax. Sink down into my presence. Make time to be still and to restore your soul. And being still doesn't mean doing absolutely nothing. It means quieting your mind from the chaos, from life's distractions. And when's the best time to do that? I don't know. Are you a morning person? When you get up out of bed, I tell this people all the time. I live with my beautiful wife who gets up like 5 o'clock every morning. And so I've become a morning person. I've told the guys at men's group, when he gets about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, my brain starts to shut down. I remember one time she booked us a marriage counseling at 7:30 at night. You remember this one. By 8:15, I felt like I'd heard the same thing from the same people for the last 4 hours. It had only been 45 minutes. My brain starts to shut down. And I said, do not ever do that again. But if you're a morning person, take that time to say, God, I'm coming to you this morning with a fresh mind. I'm coming to you this morning with my heart wide open to you. I need you to speak to me in the stillness. I love my mornings over here because I can be quiet for about 15 minutes. I kind of just listen to a couple songs and I'm quiet. Quiet in his presence. I do. I pray. But I also have to still my mind and get ready for my day. And there are some people that don't get out of bed till 10 o'clock and midnight. They're still in their mind. Like, oh, Jesus. I'm glad y'all can do that. I can't. But being still helps you be in tune with what God is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying. And when we don't be still, it's like that staticky radio station. Might as well turn it off. I love that song, but I can't go. I just can't do it. That's what happens when we're not still. We're not in tune. Our knobs off just a little bit, enough to annoy us. I don't think God doesn't get annoyed. But enough to annoy us to say, God, you're not hearing me. No matter the situation, be still and rest in God. And when I say rest, what does that mean? Does that mean sleeping all day? I didn't feel good last week. I slept almost all day on Monday and Tuesday, for real. By Wednesday, I was so ready to be out of the house. It doesn't mean vegging on Netflix. It doesn't mean vacations. Vacations are great. They're from the Lord. They are. Naps are another thing that are from Jesus. They're holy, anointed. So I'm just letting you know right now, naps are good. But the definition of rest is to relax. It's the absence of work. It's to be at peace. Another term used is supported to stay in position. There is support when we rest in the Lord. We got to know that when we fall back into his arms and we relinquish our control, when we relinquish the things that we really have no control over, not saying everything, but there are some things we don't have any control of. You can't control whatever. Oh, that's going to help you. You can't control what everybody else is thinking. You can't control what everybody else is doing. You can pray for them. And that's the most powerful weapon you've got right now in some of those. But trying to hold on to what everybody else is trying to think about you or do about you, it's wearing you out. There is support when we rest in God because God is the one that's holding us up. There's a remedy for our tiredness. There's a remedy for our restlessness. And it's found in Matthew 11:28 in the Message. Yes, I'm reading the Message. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and I will recover your life. Come on, listen to this. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Leave that up there. God has given you permission to watch how he handles the situation. Watch how I handle that thing you've been worried about forever. Let me show you what's going to happen a month or not from now. And you're like, why would I worry about that anyway? Because you showed me to not have to worry about that. This is how I do it. How do you teach someone? I learn better if I don't get YouTube out, because I stink at that. I want somebody to show me how to do it. Actually walk me through. Kevin, don't tell me point A to point C or D. You got to let me point my finger to it. You got to let me put my hand to it. When I do that, after a few times, I figure out that I go to A, Eric, I go to B, I go to C. Okay, we might have to go back to C because C is not working. We go to D next. Walk. Look how he does it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Come on, we live under grace. God loves you. God's madly in love with you. He's not up there with a ruler getting ready to smack you over the head all the time. No. He wants to work with you. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. I like this one. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. The closer you get to Jesus, I'm telling you, I'm not saying your troubles are all going to go away. I'm not saying everything's going to be perfect. But the closer you get to God, they won't seem as big as they used to seem. You know why? You got a friend that sticks closer than a brother standing next to you. You got a God that's your refuge and your strength, and you don't have to always be pouring it out or giving it out, because he is the one that gives you strength in those times. Let's notice how this psalm begins. God is our refuge and our strength. Look how it ends, Psalms 46:11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Think about that. He starts telling him at the top, I'm with you. He goes all the way to the bottom, I'm with you. That tells us we can begin each and every day of our lives putting him first in our lives in the morning, putting him first in our lives in the afternoon, putting him first in our lives in the evening, and knowing that from the day starting, he is your refuge, he is your strength, he's your very help, very present help in time of trouble. Come on, we need to remind ourselves of who God is. He's the big guy. I hate when people say he's the big guy upstairs. But he's that strong tower that you can go into when you're in a, when you have no other answers. You could tell that bully, the devil, you chase me home, but you'll never catch me. You know why? Because when I pull in that driveway, my big daddy is waiting on me. Come on, sometimes you got to put it in plain, just straight out stuff. He's waiting on you to be your protection. Let's all stand this morning. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know him as your strength, as your refuge, as your very present help in time of trouble? I think so many times we forget the God that we serve. We forget how big he is, how awesome he is, how well able he is to take every circumstance, every situation, everything you're going through. Can I tell you, there's some things out here you're going through that you see as this big. God's like, I could take care of that in a hot second. Say, God, I need you to take care of this in my hot second right now. I need you in this place. I think every day that we get up and we're dependent more upon God, it makes him smile. We think we're going to God all the time and we're bothering him. Can I let you off the hook on something? You're not bothering God. Sometimes in the natural, our kids will come to us and we're like, oh, Lord Jesus, here we go again. That's not who God is. That's not his nature. He's a very present help. And he's like, Jason, I know you're going through this today. I want you to bring it to me. I don't want you to cease and strive. I want you to lay back and know I'm in control. Somebody needs to hear this. You're not bothering God. He wants to hear from you. He not just wants to, he longs to hear from you. He's sitting on the edge of his big bed. And I wish my kids would just cry out to me. Come on, I think somebody needs an answer from God this morning. If that answer is knowing Jesus as your personal Savior, that's the best decision you can make ever. But I also think there's somebody in here that just needs to know that God is really with me. You feel like he's a million miles away, that he's some Star Wars in another galaxy. He's not. Emmanuel means he's God with us. And if you've called yourself a child of God, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he's right there. Again, we don't got to manufacture it. We don't have to ask him. He's here with us. He's God with us. This morning, I'm going to ask you, we said this week, but I don't know, God's still putting this word release in my mind. He wants us to release our worries, our cares, the things that we've been holding on to, thinking that we have the answer for. He's wanting us to lay back and rest in him and say, I got this. I promise you, I got this. But God, I don't see, I quit arguing with me. I got this. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, there'll be people on the right and left up here that will pray with you, that'll agree with you. Coming to know Jesus is basically just opening up and resting in him, resting in the work, the work he did. You know, you can be saved this morning by resting in the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross and saying, God, I come to you this morning, wherever you're at, if you want to come up front, if you're doing it, where, I come to you this morning and I confess that I'm a sinner. But God, I know that you are a Savior. I know you shed your blood for me, for my sins, for the past, the present, and the future. And I want to rest in it. I want you to come into my heart and to make me new. I want to rest to know that the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. God, also this morning, if you know Jesus, I really believe there is a release that needs to happen in this house. And that release can happen sometimes by taking a step out and agreeing around this altar with some of us that also need to release. As they get ready to sing this song, let's release everything to God. And I'm going to tell you something, he don't ever disappoint. If you come to him with your small offering, he's going to give his best one to you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.